morning, Beach Park. I see everybody came to church today, huh? Y'all like, I guess it is Jesus' birthday. Let me go ahead. It is good to see everybody. It's good to see you here. I'm not going to waste a whole lot of your time. We got some stuff to do. We got some word that God wants to get into you. And I only got about 20, 25 minutes to do it because, you know, on days like today, we try to get you in and get you out. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to put your eyes on the screen. I'm going to show you a little clip of a movie and see if some of you recognize this. And this will walk us into what I believe God has us for today.
Get them horses up. Where's Hickory? Hickory! Hickory!
It's a twister. It's a twister.
Anybody recognize that film? The Wizard of Oz. And if you grew up at any point in the past and you enjoyed a good fairy tale, just wave your hand at me. Anybody remember fairy tales? And maybe you remember some of these up here. You've got Rumpelstiltskin, we've got Cinderella, we have some other fan favorites, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, we've got the Three Little Pigs, and all these stories that many of us grew up reading in books, having somebody read to us. I remember specifically one of my favorite books that was on here, it's down here at the bottom. It's the Three Little Billy Goats Gruff. That was my joint right there. Like, I don't know what it was about that book, something about the troll and everything else, but like, I used to beg my mom every night, you gotta read me about the goats. Then I found out people ate goats and it did something to me. Just messed up my whole little dreams. But fairy tales is something that I want to talk to you a little bit about today. Because when we're thinking of fairy tales and we're thinking of these incredible stories and it takes you back to childhood, and there is a wonderful phrase that always told you you was about to hear a great fairy tale. Once upon a time. Once upon a time, there was a princess. Once upon a time, there was a little boy. Once upon a time in a land far, far away. It always started with once upon a time. And that phrase would tell me right off the bat that I need to step out of reality and into my imagination. Once upon a time tells me to suspend my belief. It tells me that there's some things that I'm going to hear about and read about that might otherwise not be true. Once upon a time also did something else. It told me that the emotions I would feel in that story or in that book, whether it was happiness, joy, fear, sorrow, anger, whatever it was, those emotions didn't have to carry on after the story because once upon a time told me, this ain't real. It's not gonna really impact your life. It doesn't have any long-term effects. Once the story is over, you close the book and you go back on living. But when we think about fairy tales and we think about the power that they had for us as children, I want to ask you this question. When Ariana came up here and read that story in Luke chapter 2, did you hear her say once upon a time? I never once heard her say once upon a time. And that was interesting to me because the Christmas story that we know and love does not begin with that phrase. Luke is very sincere in his writing in chapter 2. He doesn't come in on once upon a time in a land far, far away, there was a young boy. He doesn't say that. He comes right in with some facts and some details, and he says, in the land of Caesar Augustus, he says there was a governor of Syria named Quirinius. And I want you to just hold on to that Caesar Augustus one. Let's bring that one back up. He's giving us some factual information about some people that actually lived. We've got some historical reference points that we can look at, and we know by looking back through time that not only did he live, but he lived during this time when we believe Jesus came upon this earth. Caesar Augustus was one of the ancient Rome's most successful leaders who led the transformation of Rome from a republic to an empire. During his reign, he restored peace and prosperity to the Roman state and changed nearly every aspect of Roman life. A real person. Let's go to the next slide here. Quirinius, who we see in Luke chapter 2 as the governor of Syria at that time, this was a Roman general and a governor who subdued at least two rebellious regions in the Roman Empire, and he did this for Caesar Augustus. Now, in this story, I'm not going to lie to you, there seem to be some fairy tale elements, though. There's a virgin birth. That seems crazy. I'm just telling you, that by itself, there are angels. There's a star that people are following to find somebody. You've got some fairy tale elements built in with a lot of factual information, and it forces us to have to make a choice. Is this a fairy tale? Or is this real news? Because see, both of those connotations hold some weight. We have to understand what, Pastor Jay, is a fairy tale? Well, thank you for asking. A fairy tale is a children's story about magical and imaginary beings and lands. Okay. While news is information, especially about recent or important events. So a fairy tale is imaginary, something that we made up. It's a land that I couldn't get to if I wanted to. I remember one time watching Willy Wonka with my daughter. First time. And I'm not talking about the new messed up Willy Wonkas, okay? That trash that they put, I'm coming out the Bible real quick. I'm real mad. They're messing up all my childhood stories. They keep bringing them back and trying to redo them. And I'm like, leave my stuff alone. I want the original Willy Wonka where everything looked real and they used real people and it wasn't CGI and all that stuff. And I remember sitting there with my daughter and it was the first time she had seen it. I'm like, you gotta watch this Willy Wonka. I used to watch this when I was a kid. And there's a scene where he brings him into the candy room. And he's like, everything in here, you can eat it. My favorite part of the movie. I don't know, y'all. I'm just greedy, I guess. I don't know. I'm sitting there with my daughter, and she's like, I want to go there. I said, baby, me too. She said, Daddy, can we just jump into the TV? Okay. If I ever was going to take a chance, it'd have been that night. Because fairy tales make you want to believe. They make you want to do some stuff. They make you want to take some action. But it's different when things come on the news. Now see, The Wizard of Oz is a fairy tale. And there's nobody in this room, I hope, that was watching The Wizard of Oz at home. And you saw that twister coming, and you jumped up and grabbed your kids and let's get to the basement. Let's go. It's a storm coming. Why would you do that? Now, in a black household, if one person run, everybody run. So we all might be in the basement mad at you at the end of the story. Why was you running? I saw something on the TV. Now you got us down here in the dark in the corner for no reason. But none of you are taking that seriously. Why? Because it's a fairy tale. And in a fairy tale, I don't apply real world actions and responses to something that I know is not true. But if you were watching The Wizard of Oz, and in the middle of that movie, a weather alert came on the bottom of your screen saying there is an F5 F4 tornado heading to your location, seek shelter immediately. You would have a very different response. You wouldn't care nothing about the wizard. You wouldn't care nothing about the Emerald City. Forget this yellow brick road. We are getting somewhere safe. Because a fairy tale is not something that I gotta worry about. But when real news comes on, that is telling you important events that are happening in your area that could impact your life, you need to have the proper response. I need you all to understand this. There is a response to news that can impact your life. You wouldn't just sit there and wait. You wouldn't sit there with the wind blowing, the hail coming down the size of baseballs and be like, I don't believe this is true. Because all of the factual evidence around you tells you that a storm is on the way. And if this story about Christ is true, then the news I'm here to tell you is in 1 John chapter 4. Verse 9 and 10, where it says, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. See, if this is real and if this is true, then the news is found in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, where it says, but God showed his great love for us, for that by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. If the birth of Christ is true and not a fairy tale, then the news is in John 3, 16 and 17 that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, I'm trying to get some real news into you today. I'm trying to let you know that the love of God is not a fairy tale. There is no once upon a time there was a God that thought he cared about you. This is not a fairy tale. There is no once upon a time in a land far, far away there was a Garden of Eden. This is not a fairy tale. I'm telling you something that's real, something that is true. And if this is what I say it is, you should be responding in kind to it. The love of God is not a fairy tale. Some of us have felt the tangible love of God. Some of us have prayed. Look, you all, I got a testimony, and I'll tell you this right now. We got two brothers in this church that have gone through a surgery last week. One found out he had kidney problems, and they found out that his brother was an identical match to be able to transplant a kidney. We were praying for them, and God brought them into the surgery room. The surgery was successful. Both of them are in recovery, and we're seeing that God is real, and this is not a fairy tale. Ain't nobody in here praying to no make-believe God. What kind of idiots would we be? Paul said we should be totally looked at like we crazy. We should be pitied amongst all men if what we preach is not true. But what if it is? And what if I'm telling you that something is coming? And the news is that because of sin, the storm of death, the storm of anguish, the storm of disease, the storm that God never meant to come to us is on the way. What will your response be? I want you to take a moment. I want to show you another clip of something that is not a fairy tale, but that really happened. And I want you to notice and watch what these individuals do in this situation. Let's go ahead and run that clip, please.
Let's take a look and listen to this incredible video as a tornado headed toward our sister station in Wichita, Kansas on Sunday, and listen to the hail in the background.
You know, JD, in 20 years, I've never said this, but I think it's our time to go.
Dave, man.
I really do. We've been monitoring the conditions here downtown. So at this point, folks, we here at KSN are moving to our shelters. We are moving to our shelters. JD and I will continue to talk with you as long as we can. We're leaving the radar image up, but it appears that it is time for all of us to get to shelter. Get to shelter right now. Ryan Newton. Right in Newton. Now, Ryan.
Now.
Everybody down below, let's go.
Hey, you know what? When you hear a real storm is on the way, you will quit everything you're doing. Hey, in 20 years, I ain't never said this before, but we about to get up out of here. And they left, and they began running to shelter. They begin running to a place of safety because what was coming was greater than them. And they realize this has the power to not just impact my life. This has the power to take my life. This is something serious. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a game. We're not playing. You hear him calling, Ryan, Ryan, right now, Ryan, Ryan, whatever you're doing, quit playing around. Ryan, let's go. Church. I'm telling you, I'm reporting live at Journey Church Beach Park. And I am here to tell you that there is a storm coming your way. But because God loves you the way that he does, he doesn't tell you to run to a storm cellar like Auntie M did. He doesn't tell you to run to the basement like they were doing on this show. No, God loves you so much that he sent you a better shelter. And that shelter's name is Jesus Christ. Hey, this is why the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It said the righteous run in and they are safe. That should bring you some encouragement. That should remind you, no matter what comes my way, no matter what's happening, no matter how dark it is, no matter how much it's hailing, no matter how much the wind blows or the lightning flashes, there is a strong tower that I can run into and be safe. It is one of the most reassuring things that I hold on to every day of my life. There are scriptures that I can pull up for all types of different situations. But what I have found is that scripture in Proverbs 18 encompasses everything that I may ever navigate. The fact that the name of Jesus Christ is a place, it is a strong tower, it is an impenetrable fortress, and that once I run to him, there is nothing the storm can do to me. Some of you in this room are in a storm right now and you're wondering how to get out, and I'm telling you, you need to call on the name of Jesus. You need to let Jesus be your strong tower. You need to let Jesus be your place of refuge. You need to let Jesus be your shield. You need to let Jesus be the one that will take care of your problems. You notice that the Bible doesn't even go into detail about what being safe is. Understand how powerful the name of the Lord is. He said that you just run in and you are safe. Whatever was outside, you are safe. Now, I remember growing up watching horror movies and watching different things, and you would see the different monsters had to be killed different ways. And if you messed around and shot a vampire with a silver bullet, that didn't get it done. And if you messed around and stabbed a werewolf with a stake in the heart, you still got eight. If Jason showed up on the scene, God knows there wasn't much you could do to him at all. They tried in 14 different movies. Freddy Krueger, you couldn't go to sleep. All this stuff, you running around hearing noises, folks want to go check on stuff. Don't go outside. But as an adult and you start growing up and realizing, I'm not scared of Freddy Krueger, I'm scared of these bills. these bills that's coming after me going, these bill collectors that keep calling and asking for money that you ain't got. You running everywhere you can go and they just keep finding you. You move, you change your number, you live with your grandmama and they show up. There is some stuff going on in your life where sickness will follow you wherever you go. There are some diseases that have floated through your family through generations and it keeps showing up and you like, I don't even smoke. How did I come up with cancer? There are some genetics that you are fighting. There are some things in your life that you didn't even do to get. It was your great, great, great grandfather that dropped that spirit into the family line. But what I'm telling you is, no matter what you are facing, you run to the name of Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Jesus said, I got whatever you need. Whatever's outside, I got something for it. Whatever you got chasing you, I got something for it. Whatever you got trying to get to you, I don't care what building you tried before. Try coming into this one and see what happens. I'm here encouraging you, church. I'm here daring you to give Jesus an opportunity and stop treating him like he's some fairy tale when God knows he holds all power in his hands. He's real. We used to sing a song that said, Jesus is real, for I know the Lord is real to me. I don't care how you might feel about him. I know what he has done for me. Is it anybody in this room that knows what Jesus has done for you? If you are in here, you need to give him some praise right where you are. If he has brought you out, if he has healed you, if he has watched over you, if he has kept you, if he has brought you out of stuff that you know you couldn't do yourself, if he watched over your kids, if he provided when you knew there was no way I should have this provision. Jesus deserves not just your praise, but your allegiance. There's a crazy story in the Bible that I will never understand. God is angry at the children of Israel. And this is after Moses has thrown down the tablets. They decided it was a good idea to build a golden calf after all God had done and worshiped that. And God tells them something that makes zero sense to me why this was a hard decision to make. But he says, Moses, tell the people that for those that are with me to stand over here and those that are not to stand over there. Yeah, can I just be Jay English for a second? After all I've seen God do, all the crazy stuff that has happened, if God says, if you're with me, stand over here, and if you're not, stand over there, even if I wasn't really with him, I'm not trying to find out what's going to happen. Like, for anybody else, does that sound like a setup? Hey, anybody that's not with me, stand over there. And it was just like in the world today, some fools that said, I'm. But some of us are them. God is asking you every day, will you be with me or will you be against me? And some of us just be like, you know what? I'm good enough to do this by myself. I got enough strength on my own to handle this. I can do this without you. Are you crazy? The Bible says that those people that stood on this side, literally, the ground opened. It was the most anticlimactic battle ever. The ground opened up and swallowed everybody and closed back up. And that, the end. No fairy tale. Why? Why? God, who is very honest about who he is. No fairy tales. Just news. He says, hey, I put before you two paths. Life and death. And then he tells you, please choose life. He's like, choose life? would you choose death willingly? Why would you willingly walk away from the one person that can save your soul? Why would you willingly choose to do anything other than give your allegiance to the one that says, I love you. I love you so much that I was willing to die for you. I love you so much that I died for you when you wouldn't even think about me. How dare us live our lives like Jesus is not who he said he was. This is why I'm so hard on people who claim to be believers. Because you can't claim to be a believer, but then live your whole life like you're not one. I got more respect for people in the streets than I do for Christians in the church. Because people in the streets don't play with God. They will look you in the face and tell you, I can't go to that church, bro. Mm-mm. I ain't messing with God. I already know what I'm doing. I know what I'm about. I'm not trying to live that life yet. So when I'm ready, I'll come. It be the believers shouting all over the stage, speaking in tongues, and then go outside and speak in a whole nother tongue. And when we do that, we make God into a fairy tale. Church, I want to encourage you on Christmas Eve. We celebrate this as the birth of Jesus. We celebrate this as his coming to earth. And regardless of when that date actually was, on this day that we're celebrating it, I am begging you to heed the warning that I'm giving you right now. Understand that a storm is coming your way, and you have a decision to make. Will you live your life for him, where he promises you, if I be for you, who can be against you? Where he promises you that no good thing will be withheld from you. Where he promises you that he can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could ask, hope, or think. And you think you can do better than that? You can't do better than that. Church, as I ask the worship team to come back, I need you to understand that this is an opportunity. If you haven't given your life to Christ before, today is that day. Don't leave here without him. If you are a believer in Christ, but you know you haven't been living it the way that you say you should, or the way this Bible says that you should, today is the day to rededicate yourself to him. Because here's the one thing that I can guarantee you, church. At the end of time, when Jesus returns, all of us who belong to him for the rest of eternity will finally have the one piece of this Bible that sounds just like a real fairy tale to me, where it says we will live together with him forever, happily ever after. Does anybody in this room want the happily ever after? Is anybody seeking out the love of God so that you can live out his promises, not just in this life, but through eternity? Because when you give him your life today, your eternity starts now. Church, if you're in this room, I want to ask you all, everyone in this room, just bow your heads for me for a moment. If this is your first time here, I'm going to ask, just go with me for a second. Bow your heads for just a moment. Close your eyes. If you are here today and you would like to give your life to Jesus, maybe you've never heard it explained like this. Maybe something is on you right now that makes you say, today is my day. I want to give it to him fully. If that is you, just wave your hand at me for just a moment. Just raise it real quick. I thank you. I see your hand. I see your hand. I love it. I see your hand. I see your hand. Praise God. I see your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. I see it. I see it. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Go ahead. You put your hands down. I want you all to keep your eyes closed. We're going to pray together, church, because we don't pray by ourselves here. Just repeat after me. And for those of you who raise your hands, I want to welcome you to the best party this side of heaven. If you haven't had family before, you got a whole bunch of them right now. The Bible says that the angels in heaven celebrate when anybody comes to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So church, let's pray together. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And that you gave your life for me. I deserve to die. But you paid my price. And wiped out my sin. So I give you my heart. I give you my mind. I give you my soul. I give you my life. Make me into what you want me to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, y'all. Let's praise God for what he's doing. Yes. Hallelujah. Church, this is the celebratory way we should be entering in here. Not just on Christmas Eve. If you are a visitor here today, I just want to invite you, come back. Don't let this be the last time we see you. We would love to love on you. We would love to do life with you. We would love to be alongside of you. I want to encourage those of you who have given your life to Christ, whether that was right now or at any point this year, your next step is to get baptized. Oh, we got a little quiet. Yes, go under some water. Yes. But don't worry, y'all. We got the hot tub here. You ain't going to be speaking in tongues because of hypothermia. We get the tub nice to about 92, 93 degrees. You step in and it's warmer in the tub than it is out. We are going to be doing baptisms next Sunday. If you would like to be baptized, you gave your life to Christ, this is your next step. Jesus said, be baptized. In the back, there is a black table with a sign-up list. Just go back there, write your name down. We're going to reach out to you this week and get you the information you need. Maybe you already saved. Maybe you already been baptized. Great. But you slipped and fell in some stuff this year. 2023 got you a little dirty. And you're like, I need to wash some of this gunk off. I got some stuff I need to leave under the water in 2023. I'm going in 2024, a brand new person. We're going to leave some stuff behind. Because you know what? Christians still struggle too. If that is you, praise God. You're still breathing. Let's get it. Sign up. Let's get baptized next week. We will baptize for as many people as we need to for as long as we have to. If everybody in here want to go under the water, I'll be in there wrinkled all up. I don't care. We're that church.